Like Martin Luther King, James Farmer applied Gandhi's principles of nonviolent resistance to the civil rights movement. Farmer co-founded CORE, the Congress of Racial Equality. The group's nonviolent demonstrations were answered with attacks by white mobs and mass arrests of CORE members during the Freedom Rides in the early 60s. CORE's interracial groups of freedom riders rode buses through the southern states to see to it that the Supreme Court's decision banning segregation in bus terminals was actually being enforced. The resulting drama focused national attention on the violence of southern racism. Farmer died in 1999 at the age of 79. We're going to hear an excerpt of the interview I recorded with him in 1985. He told me that he wasn't with the Freedom Riders when they went into Alabama because he went home to Washington, D.C. to be at his father's funeral. The young white Freedom Rider in charge of the Birmingham Rides was nearly killed. Farmer rejoined the Freedom Riders just as the buses were about to head into Mississippi.
Mississippi at that time had the reputation of being the ultra, the apex of racism. And I thought that what had happened in Alabama then would be only a prelude to what awaited us in Mississippi. Yet the young Freedom Riders, SNCC young people, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, from Nashville, young CORE people from New Orleans had joined forces in Montgomery to take the ride into Jackson. And I was there, and they presumed I was going with them since it was my show. Nobody asked me if I was going. They just assumed it. But I had other thoughts. Because, my father had just died. And two deaths in the family in a week would be a bit much for my mother and for the family. Furthermore, I'd been away from my office for 6 weeks, and mail had piled high, and people needed answers to their letters, and CORE had to raise money to keep its activities going, including the Freedom Ride, and I was needed to help in that process. Oh, I'd cataloged all of these excuses in my mind, but the bottom line was that I was scared to death, and that's the reason I didn't want to go, and I was determined not to go because I wanted to live. I did not want to die then. I went down that morning that the young Freedom Riders were going to board their buses for the journey from Montgomery, Alabama, to Jackson, Mississippi. I went down really to say goodbye to them and wish them Godspeed. I remember reaching through the open window of a bus to shake hands with a 17-year-old CORE girl from New Orleans, Doris Castle. I said, "Well, Doris, have a safe journey, and after the Freedom Rides, we'll get together and we'll discuss the next step." She looked at me in disbelief. She said, "But Jim, you're going with us, aren't you?" And I said, "Oh, well, no, Doris, you see." And then I went through the whole litany of excuses which I had prearranged in my mind. She shook her head and said, "Jim, please." Well, that was too much. I had to go then.
Well, you encountered quite a lot of trouble on that ride. You were all arrested. What grounds were you arrested on?
There were three charges: disobeying an officer, disturbing the peace, and inciting to riot. We were arrested by Captain Ray, who was the chief of police of the city of Jackson, when he ordered me to move on. And I asked where. The young lady with me who had locked arms with me, she and I were about to go into the restaurant there in the waiting room, the white waiting room, for dinner. And other Freedom Riders followed the two of us and were similarly told to get into the paddy wagon. And we were taken to jail. Then I sent orders by my lawyer to my CORE staff in New York to begin immediately recruiting Freedom Riders, white and black, from all over the country, sending them into Jackson to try, in true Gandhian fashion, to fill up the jails. We were not going to bail out. we were going to stay in as long as we could stay in and still file an appeal, and that turned out to be 40 days and 40 nights.
Did the jails want you out?
Yes. They quickly found out that we were not going to bail out right away, and then what they wanted to do was to make it so uncomfortable for us that we'd wish we had never come, and we'd stop others from coming. They did not physically beat us, though they tried once at one place, and that backfired because I got one young man bailed out, and he called the FBI, and he also held a press conference, so that stopped the physical brutality. But they did such things as putting so much salt in the food that we couldn't eat it. Many of us were chain smokers, and we were denied any cigarettes, but the guards would walk by our cells, puffing on cigarettes and blowing the smoke into our cells at great length. We were students or readers. They denied us any newspapers or any books, refused to let any come in, refused to let us have any paper or any pencils to do any writing whatsoever. We were denied any visitors except our lawyer. This was psychological brutality.
You were also banned from singing at one point.
Well, they tried to stop us from singing. We sang all the freedom songs we knew, and we made up new ones. I made up one song, wrote one song. Actually, it was I put new words to an old labor song, "Which Side Are You On?"
What were the words you wrote?
Well, these words, I can't sing, so I won't even try to sing it. Said, "Come all you freedom fighters, good news to you I'll tell, of how the good old freedom ride has come in here to dwell. Which side are you on? 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 They say in Hinds County, where Jackson was, Jackson, Mississippi, no neutrals have they met. You're either for the freedom ride or you're Tom for Ross Barnett." He was the governor of Mississippi. "My father was a freedom fighter, and I'm a freedom fighter's son, and I'll stick to the freedom ride till every battle's won." Well, the jailers went wild at our singing because we were singing as loudly as we could, and our voices were wafting out over the city of Jackson, and the windows were open. They would come in and slam our windows shut, and we would open them again and sing more and more and more. Other freedom riders, the black women in another wing, the white men in another wing, the white women in another wing would pick up the song, and so the jailhouse was rocking with freedom song. The jailers are running around saying, "Stop that singing! Stop that singing! Stop it!" And we continued singing because it was good for our morale. It was good for our morale, and if there were any fear left in us, that fear was dissipated by the song.
James Farmer recorded in 1985. He died 14 years later at the age of 79. We'll close with the SNCC Freedom Singers, recorded in Atlanta in the spring of 1964.